This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayikra, and we will start with the first two psukim of Parsha's Vayikra, and we'll analyze certain things. The pasuk starts, Vayikra el Moshe, and he called to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaydaber Hashem elav mehoel moed leimor. And Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, Rashi explains, Rashi asks, why is it written here, Vayikra el Moshe, that he called to Moshe, and then it's written, Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, he could have just said, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe me'oel moed leimor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe from the tent of meeting, saying, why is it important to say, Vayikra, that Hashem called to Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi answers that this is the formula that Hashem uses all the time. Even though it's not written in every time that Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu, or Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu to do anything, or Hashem tells him to do something, it's not written, Vayikra el Moshe, that he called to Moshe. In other words, that he called before he spoke, Moshe, Moshe, come to me, in an endearing tone. But nonetheless, you should know that every time that there was a saying that Moshe had to say to the people, every time there was a commandment to be given, it was always preceded by the word Moshe. That Hashem always called before Moshe Rabbeinu in an endearing tone before he told them what to transmit to the Jewish people. And the Torah decided to write here, Vayikra el Moshe, that Hashem called Moshe and then Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, for you to learn that the same way it was here, that Hashem called them first and then he gave him the commandment, so too was every time Hashem gave a commandment, it was preceded by calling Moshe Rabbeinu. Mefarshim ask if the idea that Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu is to tell you that this applies to every time that Hashem spoke to Moshe, it was preceded by calling him. Why did the Torah specifically give this idea by the parsha of Korbanos, by the portion of sacrifices? Moshe Rabbeinu previously gave a lot of commandments on the book of Shemaz, and there, the first time where he is giving a commandment, where it's written by Dabar Hashem el Moshe leimor, right, the first time he should say, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, that Hashem called Moshe, and Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish people. Why specifically by the idea of sacrifices is where Hashem wants to introduce you the idea that prior to every time there was a statement, there was a calling to Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk continues, Dabrei Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Vomartu Aleihem, you should say to them, Adon ki yakrev mikem, if a person among you will want to bring an offering, the word yakriv is really not offering, you will want to become closer, korban Hashem, a sacrifice to Hashem, mina behema, from the animals, mina bakor, from the cattle, mina tzoin, and from the sheep, takrives korbanchem, you should bring your sacrifices. First, we have to understand a couple different interpretations. One, why does the Torah choose the word Adam? Normally, the Torah chooses the word Ish. A man, Ish ki yas, a person who will do this. Throughout the Torah, the word Ish is used. How come here the word Adam is used? Rashi tells you, Lamo Nemar, Rashi has this question, why is it written the word Adam? To tell you, Ma Adam Arishon lo ikriv mina gozel, in the same way that Adam HaRishon did not bring a sacrifice from things that were stolen. Why? Shehakol oyo shaloi, because everything was for him. Hashem gave him everything. Meaning that when Adam, in the beginning of creation, since he was the only person around, and Hashem told him that the whole world is for his enjoyment, obviously when he brought a sacrifice, it was not from a stolen item. So too, when you bring your sacrifices, you have to make sure that you do not bring from stolen items. Meaning that make sure that your ownership is yours, that the animal is yours, that the money you buy the animal comes from proper funds before you decide to bring a sacrifice. As Adam did not use anything stolen, so too you should not use anything stolen. That's why it's written the word Adam to compare your bringing a sacrifice to when Adam brought a sacrifice. Rashi's quote comes from the Medrash, in Medrash Rabbah. The only problem with this Medrash is that we do not find in the story written in the Chumash that Adam HaRishon actually ever brought a sacrifice to Hashem. We find Cain and Hevel bringing sacrifices, but we do not see Adam HaRishon giving a sacrifice for Hashem. But that reference is given in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches Omed Aleph. There the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis taught na Baraisa, Yom Shenivra by Adam HaRishon, on the day that Adam HaRishon was created, Kiven Sheshoka Olav Chama, as soon as the sun started setting, Omar, he said, Oili, woe for me, Bishvil Shesorachti, because I have sinned, Oilam Choshuch Ba'adi, therefore Hashem is making the world turn to darkness, V'yachzer Oilam L'soy Vavo, and Hashem is going to destroy the world and turn the world back to nothingness. V'zuhi misa shaniksa olav nashamayim. And this is the death that was decreed from me from heaven. Meaning that before Adam HaRishon ate from the tree of knowledge, Hashem had told him that in the day that you will eat from the tree of knowledge, you will die. Adam HaRishon sees that the world is getting dark. He thinks that this is the punishment for eating the fruit, that he is soon going to die, and death that Hashem told him that in the day that he will eat ill, he will die, means that he is about to die, and darkness is the first symptom of that death. And he thought that once he dies and Chava dies, Hashem is going to turn the world back to nothingness as it was before he was created. The Gemara continues and saying what he was doing that night that he thought that he's going to die. Hayo Yoishev betaynes, Adam HaRishon was sitting and fasting, uvoicha kol ha'layla, and he was weeping that entire night. Vechave, and his wife Eve, boicha konegda, she was weeping opposite him. Kiven she'ala moed ha'shachar, as soon as the light of dawn rose, in other words, as soon as it got a little lighter, Omar, Adam HaRishon, said, Min hagoy shel oilam hu, this is merely the natural course of the world. Meaning that he realized this is the natural course of the world, that it gets dark when the sun sets and it gets up when the sun comes back. And it was not designed to be a punishment for Adam. Amad ve'ikriv shor shekarnav koidmi leparsoisov. In Thanksgiving, that's the normal interpretation, he arose and sacrificed an ox whose horn had preceded its hooves. Rashi explains, normally an ox that is born, usually the hooves come before the horns, because the horns only come after a certain amount of time. But since when Hashem created the world, the Gemara says that everything was created, let's see, Yoinam, with its full status, Bekoimasam, with its full height. In other words, Hashem created adult beings. Just as a side note, there's always a question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You should know that according to Jewish tradition, the chicken came first, because Hashem created everything in its full force. Adam HaRishon decided to give as a thanksgiving for Hashem an animal that was created the way that he was created. In other words, an animal that was created by Hashem directly. And that's what it means that the horns came before the hooves. Because when you take something from the ground, a full being, then you'll pull out first the horn and then the hooves. That's what Rashi explains on the Gemara. And that's what Adam HaRishon gave as a sacrifice to Hashem. Where is that alluded to in anywhere in Tanakh? The Gemara says that that's what it's meant when David HaMelech says in Tehillim chapter 69 verse 32, V'titav l'Hashem mishor par makrin marfis, that my prayer should be a praise to Hashem more pleasing than the shor, than the axe, bull, horned and hoofed that Adam HaRishon brought. But going back to our topic, we see that Adam HaRishon brought a sacrifice, an axe for Hashem. And since Adam HaRishon did not steal this axe because everything was his, so too here, when we're talking about sacrifices, it's written the word Adam and not Ish, to tell you that every sacrifice that you bring has to be equal to Adam, that is not stone. Just another side note, which is an interesting trivia, the Gemara there continues, V'amar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says in Eva Shmuel, Shor Sheikriv Adam HaRishon, that the axe that Adam HaRishon brought, Keren Achas Hoysoloi B'mitzchoi, had one horn in its forehead. In other words, Adam HaRishon brought a unicorn. This assumption that Rashi makes, that Adam HaRishon did not sacrifice from stolen things because the whole world was his and there was nothing to steal, is contradicted by a Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, Amud Beis 56b, is discussing the seven Noahide laws and is trying to find out where do we see the sources of the seven Noahide laws. The laws that the Gentiles are prohibited, where is that source? The Gemara says, Menoha Nemila, how do I know the seven Noahide laws? Omra B'yoich Rebrecha says, the Omar Kra, the verse says, on Bereshit chapter 2, Pasuk number 16, the Pasuk says, Vaitzav Hashem Elohim al Ha'adam, Hashem commanded upon man, Leimor is saying, Mikoil Eitz Hagan, Ochoil Toichel. From all the trees of the garden, you may surely eat. Technically, this whole Pasuk is superfluous, because previously on chapter 1, Pasuk number 29, there Hashem says, I already gave you all the grasses that's on the land and all the trees that's on the land for you to eat. It would suffice for Hashem to say, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. Why does the Torah have to tell you this whole Pasuk? Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan takes this Pasuk and dissects it for all the seven Noahide laws. And I'm going to focus on the Noahide law of stealing that we learn from this verse. The Gemara says that Mikol Eitz Hagan, that since Hashem had to tell Adam that he could eat from all the fruits of the garden, it implies that only these fruits he is allowed to eat. Veloy Gezel, is not allowed to steal other fruits that I did not tell you to eat. You are not allowed to eat. Only the fruits of the garden you are allowed to eat, but not everything that's around you. If Rav Yochanan's statement is true, then we have a question. How can Rashi say here that Kol Ha'olam Shaloi, that the reason is written Adam, because as Adam did not take from stone items, in other words, he did not bring a sacrifice from stone animals, because the whole world was his, how do you know the whole world was his? Maybe the whole world was not his. As the trees were not his, so too the animals were not his. And furthermore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes, Amud Beis brings down, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Rav Yehuda says name of Rav, Adam HaRishon, Loi Huta Loi Basar Lachila, Adam HaRishon could not eat any meat, Dichsiv, it's written, Lochem yelachlo, it should be to you for eating, ulechol chayas oretz, and for all animals of the land. That Hashem is talking about the grass, that the grass should be for Adam HaRishon to eat, and for all the animals of the land, veloi chayas oretz lochem, and not the animals for you. In other words, that Adam HaRishon is only allowed to eat the grasses and the fruits and the vegetation, but is not allowed to eat any animals. And the reason why Adam HaRishon is not allowed to eat any animals is brought down Sefer Ahavas Yoinasan, that the reason that Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat any animals, because since during creation all the animals had wisdom, and the proof is that the Nachash is written Hayo'oru Mikol Chayas Asoda, she was more cunning than all the animals of the field. You see clearly that the animals at that time had wisdom. Therefore, anybody who would kill an animal there which has the same wisdom almost as man, it would be considered like shoifach dam, like he would spill blood, like he would commit murder. And we have proof to that from Tosfos on that Gemara before, on Sanhedrin 56b, where the Gemara there says that Adam HaRishon was prohibited on Eiver Min HaChai, on removing and eating a limb from a living being. So Tosfos there asks a question, wait a minute, why do you require to prohibit Adam HaRishon from eating a limb from a live being? Automatically he is not allowed to eat meat. What purpose is it to tell that Adam HaRishon is prohibited for Eiver Min HaChai? Tosfos answers that Adam HaRishon was not prohibited from eating meat. Adam HaRishon was forbidden from killing meat. But if he found the animal that was already dead, he could eat that limb. But if he removed the limb from an animal and that animal later on died, that limb became prohibited for Eiver Min HaChai. But you see that Tosfos differentiates between killing the animal and the animal itself dying. In other words, it was prohibited for Adam HaRishon at that point to kill an animal. It was not prohibited from him to eating meat. He didn't have to be a vegetarian. It was only prohibited from him to kill an animal. So the question now becomes, how can Adam HaRishon bring a sacrifice where he kills an animal, where according to Tosfos the prohibition was to kill an animal? How can he do it? This question is actually brought by the Vilna Rav on his Sefer Ezer Miyuda regarding Cain, and he tries to defend why Cain, even though he is the one who started with the idea of bringing sacrifice to Hashem, how come he did not bring an animal? And he's trying to say that Cain thought that he is prohibited to bring an animal because of the prohibition against killing an animal. And he explains there that the reason that Adam HaRishon saw that he could bring an animal as a sacrifice is because he realized that this is the only animal that doesn't have a mate. Everything in creation already had a mate, had male and female, and this axe was only a male, and there was no other unicorn at that time. Therefore, Adam HaRishon realized that the sole purpose of the creation of this unicorn was for Adam to bring it as a sacrifice. And we have to say that according to this, Adam HaRishon realized that it is not considered stealing, and it's not considered murder. Or we could say that we have to go not according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara there gives other sources for the seven Noahide laws, and some of the sources are actually from Noah himself. That means that Adam really was not commanded on stealing, since the whole world was his. So we could say that Rashi is quoting the Medrash according to the other opinions that believe that the whole world is his. On this idea that the word Adam is brought here in order to teach you that you're not allowed to steal, Sefer Levi Eliyahu brings a question of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim asks a question, why does Rashi have to say that the only reason is written Adam, to tell you that Hashem doesn't like when you steal as a sacrifice? This idea is clearly written on Yeshayahu chapter 61, Pasuk number 2, where the Pasuk there says, Ani Hashem, that I'm Hashem, soine goizel bo'oila, that I'm Hashem, I hate theft on a oila. In other words, Hashem is clearly telling you that he hates when you bring a sacrifice from stolen items. So why do you have to say Adam for this idea? It's already written clearly, this idea explicit by the Navi. Chofetz Chaim explains, there is actually two kinds of stealing. One direct stealing, and the other one indirect stealing. Direct stealing, everybody understands, when I take an item that's not mine, that I'm directly stealing, that everybody understands that Hashem hates somebody who does that. And especially, he should bring a sacrifice for Hashem, a gift for Hashem from that thievery, it's even more insulting. But the indirect stealing, which people may think it's not considered stealing, for example, if you see a rabbi and you see a righteous person, where a person wants to give him donations, and people give donations to him, assuming that he's a rabbi and a righteous person, had the people known what he's going to do with the money, or that he's really not such a righteous person, or he's really doesn't learn as much as he should, then people may not have given him this money. So that technically is also considered stealing. And that kind of stealing is the stealing that we learn from the word Adam. Because since when Adam was created, Hashem knew exactly the level of Adam. And at that point, Hashem told them, bring a sacrifice. That means that only if in the category of Adam, when somebody else knows exactly which level you are staying, and that is the reason that you got the money, that's the only time that you are allowed to take the money. Because otherwise, even though you didn't force the other person to give you the money, he gave you the money out of his own free will, but he only gave the money because he assumed something of you. If that assumption is not true, then the money came to you under false pretenses, and you are liable technically for stealings. And then Sefer Lev Eliyahu tells a story that happened with the Chofetz Chaim, that once the Chofetz Chaim was benching, and in the middle of the Rachem Noah, there we say, V'noa tatzricheinu Hashem Elokeinu, lo yilidei matnas basar v'dam, and Hashem, please make us not needy of gifts of human hands, v'lo yilidei alvasom, and not of their loans, ki im layatcha amleya, only by your hand, which is full, apsucha, which is open, akdoisha, which is holy, varchava, which is generous, why, sheloi nevoish, so that we should not feel shame, v'loi nikolem, we should not be humiliated, lo'olam voet, forever and ever. When the Chofetz Chaim was saying these words, he gave a moan. After benching, the son of the Chofetz Chaim asked him how come he was moaning specially at this passage. The Chofetz Chaim explains that this passage technically is not understandable, because if you are required to come for gifts of human beings or the loans of human beings, that means that you're embarrassed. But technically you should only be embarrassed in this world. You should only feel shame in this world. Why do you say that you should not be shamed forever and ever? The Chofetz Chaim explained, based on what we just mentioned, that it means to say that a lot of times gifts come to you, but it comes to you because people have a misunderstanding of who you really are. People assume you are at one level and you are at a lower level. Technically, you don't deserve this money. So people give you loans because they feel you are worthy, or they give you gifts because they feel you are worthy, or a lot of times because you misrepresent your financial situation. And you are not so. So you are not only going to be embarrassed in this world by taking those gifts, in the world to come you're going to be embarrassed also, because those gifts are tantamount to stealing. You are going to be losing your Olam Haba because of this money that you just received. Sefer Tal Leoyrois tells a story which emphasizes this idea. He says that for a number of years, Chofetz Chaim had to go from town to town to collect money, and his financial situation was very, very troubling. Once the Chofetz Chaim receives an envelope from a well-known philanthropist in Moscow, the Chofetz Chaim opens the letter and he sees there's 300 rubles in it. But the 300 rubles are accompanied with a note. As soon as the Chofetz Chaim reads the note, he tells his people that this money has to be returned immediately. Everybody was astonished why the Chofetz Chaim would do that. They knew the Chofetz Chaim was used to taking money from people, and they also knew that this philanthropist usually gave money to charity. Then why would the Chofetz Chaim decide not to take money from this particular philanthropist? The Chofetz Chaim says that as soon as he read the letter, which the letter started with a number of praises and titles, a lot of accolades for the Chofetz Chaim, then the Chofetz Chaim realized that the money was only given if he actually fulfills what those accolades mean, what those praises mean. And he held that he himself has not fulfilled those praises. Therefore, he felt that the money was given only by that intention. And if he doesn't qualify to those praises which this person gave, then he's stealing the money, because the money wasn't given without any qualifications. It was accompanied with a letter explaining how praiseworthy or giving the accolades of the Chofetz Chaim, which the Chofetz Chaim believed he did not deserve it. And the Chofetz Chaim would not rest until the money was actually returned to this philanthropist. We see from this how great tzaddikim, not only they preach to others, but they actually practice what they preached. That the Chofetz Chaim, realizing that taking the money would be under false pretenses, even if a lot of times people put praises which they do not mean, but since you mentioned those praises and that's one of the reasons you gave the money, then in order to qualify to take the money, you have to meet those praises. If you don't meet those praises, technically that is stealing. And that's what we learn from the word Adam, that Hashem knew exactly the level of Adam when he brought a sacrifice, when he gave him permission to bring a sacrifice. So too, you have to make sure that all the money that you have, all your possessions are only given to Hashem when you achieve that level of Adam. The Medrash Tanchuma, Os Ches, on this week's Parsha says, why is it written the word Adam and it's not written the word Ish? The Medrash says, Yirtze Loimer, it wants to say, Ki Yechta Adam, if a person will sin, Kamoy Adam Orishin, like Adam Orishin, Shehischil Lachtoi, that he started sinning, if that happens, then Yakriv Korban, he should bring a sacrifice as Adam HaRishon brought. This Medrash is explained by the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer first asks a question, why does the Medrash say, like Adam Shehischil Lachtoi, like Adam that started sinning? Why does the Medrash say, like Adam Shechata, that he sinned and brought a sacrifice? What is the point to tell me that Adam HaRishon is the one that started sinning? The point is that Adam HaRishon sinned and he brought a sacrifice. So what is the hidden message of the words of the Medrash Tanchuma? The Ksav Sofer explains that normally the reason we bring a sacrifice, as the Ramban explains and all the Mefarshim explain, is that when you bring a sacrifice, you see what happens to the animal, and that should have happened to you, that helps you atone, you confess your sin, and that helps you to get to a higher tshuva level. In other words, the animal becomes your really representative, it becomes your substitute. You see what happens to the animal, and this is what's supposed to happen to you, then it'll come to you a hirur tshuva, a remembrance of tshuva, and then through that, you will be able to get your atonement and your repentance. So the Ksav Sofer explains that normally when a person sins, he has got two excuses. Either the excuse that the Yetzer Hara made me do it, that I couldn't help it, my evil inclination got the worst of me and made me do it. Or that excuse is what Tehillim 51, Pasuk 7 says, Hem be'oivin chalalti, I was fashioned with iniquity, Uvachait Yachmisan imi, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, the Yetzer Hara didn't come from me, it came inherited from my mother. Meaning that it is not my fault, my parents had this bad flaw, and that flaw was given to me, and I continue having this bad flaw. And that's usually the excuses why a person would do something bad. And even nowadays, you see those excuses still working. That a person is going to say, I am sorry I did this, I have an addiction, I am addicted to the computer, I'm addicted to Twinkies, I'm addicted to alcohol, I'm addicted to drugs, and they'll find excuse that his own Yetzer Hara made him do it. Or a lot of times you find excuses that your upbringing is the one that's guilty. I grew up in an environment, I grew up in a violent environment, therefore I am violent. I grew up being abused, therefore I'm abusing somebody else. My parents were drinking, so therefore I drink. Those are the excuses that were prevalent in the Gemara's time, in the Ksav Sofer time, and still the excuses are prevalent today. The Yetzer Hara doesn't change much, he just gives you different excuses. But somebody who is repenting, somebody who is doing tshuva, he has to know that no excuses help. And to teach you, the Torah tells you that Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, that only if you are in the level of Adam, That's when you should come and approach Hashem with a sacrifice and ask for His forgiveness. When you are done with your excuses, you're not blaming anything else, then and only then are you supposed to come and bring a sacrifice. In the same way as Adam did. Because Adam HaRishon could not utilize any of these excuses when he repented. Adam HaRishon was a creation of Hashem, then you cannot say that my parent made me do it, because Hashem is the one who created him. He had no parents, so he cannot blame somebody else, he has to blame himself. And also, according to the Ramban, before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the Yetzer Hara wasn't yet internalized, it was external. And through the sin of eating of the Eitz Hadas, through the sin of eating the forbidden fruit, the Ramban explains on Bereishis chapter 2, Pasuk number 9, that then the Yetzer Hara became internal. The evil inclination, which was outside, became internalized inside Adam's body. According to this, Adam HaRishon does not have any excuse for sinning. He cannot blame the evil inclination, either his own or his parents' evil inclination, for sinning. That's what the Medrash wants to say, that a person, when he approaches God with the sacrifice of atonement, he has to know that he has to be like Adam, Shehischil Ba'avera, that he's the one who started sinning. He couldn't blame anybody, he couldn't blame his parents' Yetzer Hara, and he couldn't even blame his own Yetzer Hara that became internalized. He had to own up to his sin, and only after he owned up to his sin, then he brought a sacrifice and Hashem forgave. So too, every time a Jew brings a sacrifice, he has to first own up to his sin, don't blame anybody else, take responsibility on your crime and cry to Hashem to forgive you. And after you're done crying, then you bring a sacrifice to Hashem and Hashem will accept it the same way He accepted Adam's sacrifice. Sefer Shar Simcha explains that the idea of comparing to Adam is twofold. One, that a person should not think that he could sin and repeat the sin and keep on repeating, and every time he's going to sin, he's going to try to bring a carbon and get atonement, and that will work forever. Also, a person should not think, okay, I sinned, so let me build up all my sin for a long time, and the end of my life, I am going to come and bring a sacrifice. No, a person should act exactly like Adam. As we mentioned in the Talmud, Adam, that night that he sinned, he actually was crying all night, and after he finished crying, the next morning, he brought a sacrifice and he never repeated his sin again. He never committed another sin that's recorded in the Chumash. So too, a person has to make sure when he's bringing this atonement, when he's doing his tshuva, he has to make sure that the tshuva is shleima, is complete, and that he's not going to repeat that sin. His intentions are not to repeat that sin, and he's going to try to get atonement as soon as possible, not built up and enjoy himself and then decide to repent, the same way as Adam. That's why it's written in the Medrash that Adam Ischil Bavera Vikriv Karbon, he did a sin and right away brought a carbon. So too a person should know that as soon as he sinned, he should right away repent. Don't let this sin stay within him, because the longer the sin stays with him, the more corrupt his body and his soul becomes, like a cancer which eats quietly and you don't know it's there. But once the sin stays, it eats up your spirituality and your physicality. And then it becomes harder to do tshuva, to repent. So as soon as you're able to shed off your sins, your iniquities, your bad things, the closer you are going to be able to get to Hashem. Therefore, it's comparing to Adam that everybody should try to be in the level of Adam, which will not duplicate his sin and will do tshuva as soon as possible. Sefer Chen Tov brings a different idea why here it's written Vayikra El Moshe, specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, and why is it written Adam Ki Yakriv and not Ish, and he explains based on the Medrash Rabbah here on Siman 9a, which the Medrash brings the Pasuk in Mishle, in Proverbs 14, Pasuk number 9. The Pasuk says, Evilim Yolitz Osham Uvein Yesharim Ratzoin, meaning that a guilt offering will interpose for foolish ones, but Hashem's favor is only among the upright, meaning that a person that is guilty of sin and he brings a donation of to Hashem, he brings a gift offering, a toida offering, or elevation offering, or a oila, where you are not liable to bring, you're giving the extra step to Hashem. That person, if he still owes a guilt offering, is considered a fool. He is acting foolish, because not only does Hashem not accept his elevation offering, Hashem actually gets angry. How dare you bring me this gift when you haven't paid me back for what you owe me? You owe me the sin offering or the guilt offering, and instead of giving me that, giving what you owe, you give me gifts. Bring me what you owe, and then I'll accept your gifts. And that's why every time you have to bring a chatos, a sin offering, and a oila, an elevation offering, we always bring the chatos, the sin offering, before we give the oila, before we give the elevation offering, because you cannot give the gift before you make up for the bad. And since the Jewish people at this point had transgressed the golden calf, and they had not had atonement yet, they did not bring sacrifices to atone for that sin, the only one who was not guilty at this point was Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he tells that Moshe Rabbeinu, you are the one feeling to say, Vayikra el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people that Adam, that if you are a completely righteous person, as Adam was singular when he came to the world, so too, if you are unique, that you are one person that you are sure that has not sinned, then you are entitled to bring the oila, the elevation offering for Hashem. And when you bring it, then it's going to be totally a korban Hashem. But if you have sins, like the generation then you are not allowed to bring a oila, you have to bring the other sacrifices first. But if you want the elevation offering to be Hashem, then you have to be in the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was then unique in that level as Adam was when he was created. And that's why the Torah chooses to write down here to teach other places that there always was a calling to Moshe Rabbeinu before he gave any commandment, because here this commandment applies directly only to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Adam. Therefore it's written Vayikra el Moshe, that Hashem called Moshe to tell him that he is in the level of Adam. We could also say that since the Gemara says that Adam HaRishon cried all night, even though he thought the world was going to be destroyed, and he did tshuva, but nonetheless his tshuva was complete, he and Chava were crying all night, and in the morning they decide to bring a gift to Hashem. They realize it, that their assumption that Hashem is killing them and the world is ending, it was a mistake, that the world is not ending, but nonetheless they decided that they have to bring a gift to Hashem because they had cried and they did tshuva, and the tshuva was accepted. Now it's time to bring the gift. So too, if you know for sure that your sins are expunged, then you're entitled also to bring a gift to Hashem. After you bring your chatas and your asham, your sin offering and your guilt offering, then your sins are going to be cleared, then you are entitled to bring your elevation offering and your gift offering to Hashem. The Medrash Rabba gives another reason why specifically it's written here Vayikra el Moshe, why it's written here that Hashem called Moshe, and that's the Medrash Rabba on Vayikra Aleph Vav. The Medrash Rabba says that after Moshe Rabbeinu saw that everybody brought donations for the tabernacle, or Moshe Rabbeinu had not contributed anything for the tabernacle, so Moshe Rabbeinu was a little distressed. How come he didn't have any contribution for the tabernacle? Amale HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem answers him, Chayecho, I swear to you, Shadiburcha Chaviv Ola Yoyser Min HaKoil, that the fact that you teach the Jewish people and you tell them my laws, that is better than anything else. Shemekulon LeKora Dibur Elo LeMoshe, that before nobody, nowhere, it's written that Hashem called first only to Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's written here, Vayikra el Moshe, that Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Hashem calling Moshe Rabbeinu here specifically and mentioning here was an appeasement to Moshe Rabbeinu for him to realize that Hashem values talking to him more than the whole Mishkan and more than the Ohel Moed. Sefer Chen Tov explains this in a deeper level based on what is written on Rashi on Parshas Pekudei, chapter 38, Pasuk number 21, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. This is accounting of the Mishkan, Mishkan Oedus, the Mishkan of Testimony. Rashi asks a question, why is it written two times the word Mishkan, Mishkan? Rashi says that this is to remind us that the Mishkan is going to be taken away as collateral if we commit sins. In other words, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is a guarantee for our sins. That if our sins become too numerous and unbearable, Hashem will take away the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, from us. And that Beis HaMikdash in turn will serve as an atonement for our sins. Because Hashem will put His wrath on the rocks and mortar. And that will bring us to repent because we lost such a treasured item. And we will repent because of that. And the same idea is when Hashem takes away a tzaddik. When people misbehave, Hashem in turn will take away a great tzaddik. And because the great tzaddik is gone and he's no longer among us, then we end up doing tshuva, we end up repenting because of that. Based on this idea, Sefer Chen Tov explains that this is the idea that Hashem told him. Hashem told them that the whole idea of the Ohel Moed is to serve as atonement of the Jewish people, to help the Jewish people to feel atonement. Therefore it says, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaydaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed, Hashem spoke to him about the Ohel Moed, not from the location of the Ohel Moed, but about the topic of Ohel Moed. That was the topic that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he told them that the same way that the Ohel Moed atones, so too you, Moshe, you the tzaddik, you will atone. And that's how he says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. If a person is going to be sacrificed, you should know that this is a sacrifice for Hashem, and you are required to repent at that moment. That if a person, if an Adam is being sacrificed, which signifies an upright person, a tzaddik, will be sacrificed, then you should know that it's a korban Hashem, that's a sacrifice to Hashem. Hashem only does it for you to learn, to get atonement, for you to do tshuva. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should learn from this parshas of korbanos the proper way that we have to repent. And if we repent, then maybe we'll merit that Hashem will give us back the Beis HaMikdashes that were taken as collateral because of our sins, will merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, v'imheira b'yomeinu, Amen.